Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, good afternoon to ya. What a Monday afternoon. The New York Knicks get set for Game 2 at Madison Square Garden. The New York Islanders get set down in Raleigh, North Carolina, to try to even up the series against the Carolina Hurricanes. And ladies and gentlemen, Zach Wilson is gone!
What a Monday!
Finally! It's happened! We'll hit everything on this fine Monday afternoon. But Aaron Boone, let me tell you something about Aaron Boone. He's just trying to manage a baseball game, and you've got Hunter Wendelstadt ejecting him from a game because a kind gentleman was at the game acting like a fan. A guy sitting, and I know he's listening right now to Blue Sweater Guy who took it off, but to Blue Sweater Guy who is solely responsible for Aaron Boone being ejected from this game, we want to hear from you because I'm on your side. If you missed it earlier this afternoon, the Yankees are playing the Oakland A's. Oh, by the way, they had three hits and lost. But early in this game, we're talking five pitches into the game, there is a hit batsman of Esturi Ruiz. And Aaron Boone politely says, hey, what's going on? Maybe you should check the check swing. And home plate umpire Hunter Wendelstadt says, hey, actually, you know what? You don't need to hear me describe it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's exactly how it sounded right here on WFAN.
Batter Nevin hitting 286.
Hey, you're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. Got anything else to say?
Well, those microphones work really well, Susan, down
well,
the field.
Well, that's what happens when you have an echo in here. There's not. Did everybody hear that? It was. He didn't swear or anything. It was fine.
Aaron, we're done.
And Hunter Wendelstadt has just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy.
Who said it? You're
gone. Now, you hear what he said? I don't care who said it, because Aaron didn't say anything. Blue Sweater Guy said something.
Wow.
And that caused Hunter Wendelstadt to throw him out of the game. So, number one for Blue Sweater Guy, who's right now sitting in massive traffic. His cell phone has blown up. First of all, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Yes. I'm on your side.
You will be identified. There is no way you won't be. So you might as well come clean and come talk to us right now.
You can make up a name, Blue Sweater Guy. You could call yourself like
Jerome or Martin. It was too front and center. Somebody knows who he is. Going to be put on blast, and we're going to know who it is. Yeah. Just call us and confess. It's all good.
But he did take the blue sweater off. Right. That wouldn't confuse you?
The reason you need to call, because we need to know what you said. Exactly what you said.
Yeah, I'm
curious. We can't hear it. We hear what's his name? Wendelstadt?
Hunter Wendelstadt.
Wendelstadt. We hear Wendelstadt clearly.
Right.
Like, it's like the mic is connected to him, but we don't hear the fan that's right behind him.
Now, what could he possibly have said?
I don't know. You think he said,
hey, shut up, fat ass? You think he went fat?
Probably.
Do you think he said, hey, you only have a job because your dad? Harry Wendelstadt? Like, what did he possibly say?
It was something offensive. It definitely wasn't baseball related.
You think he cursed at him?
Probably not cursed. I don't know his personality at all. I don't even know who it is, so I can't say that he cursed. But I get it was something derogatory towards the ump specifically.
See, I'm not even convinced it's derogatory because here's what I think with Hunter Wendelstadt. It's an early Monday afternoon game. He has no interest in being there. He's in a very bad mood. It's day game after travel day. And Hunter Wendelstadt was in no mood. So I think there's a chance Blue Sweater Guy said something as innocent as, "Hey, Hunter, why don't you make the call?" And then Hunter lost his mind. Now, you heard Susan say there was no cursing from Aaron Boone. She spoke too soon. Ladies and gentlemen, after Aaron Boone got ejected, the mics were still hot. Try to hear what Aaron had to say. He was hot. Right. Now, here's what Aaron's
got
to realize.
He got his money's worth and got up in his face.
You think he should have done more?
100%. But if he was already, you can't take it back. Oh, I'm sorry. I erroneously ejected you. You can stay. Right. You can't take it back.
No.
So you might as well have gotten his money's worth.
Well, I think there's two things here. Number one, there is clearly a list, and Aaron Boone is on it. Now, Aaron denied this in the postgame. If you were listening about 10 minutes ago, he was asked, "Hey, do you think there's a vendetta against you? Do you think that umpires are out to get you?" And I'm here to say they are, because Aaron Boone has a reputation because he gets ejected. He's 35 ejections.
I know, but
because he screams and yells a lot.
But it's got to be individual, right? It's got to be based on a history with that one person.
He has no history with Hunter Wendelstadt.
At least he said he didn't. So at least no public history with Hunter Wendelstadt. But maybe, I mean, I don't think he's on a list that, that umpires are sharing amongst each other. Be careful when you get the Yankees. Aaron Boone's going to say something to you. It's going to piss you off.
Teague.
Just wait for it.
As an NFL player, there were certain players who had reputations around the league to officials? Just like there were officials that had reputations to you?
Well, I think it's different because most players were scared of the officials. Because the last thing you wanted to do was get tossed because of the fine, which to a football player is significant.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? To a baseball player with guaranteed money, you get fined $50,000. Who cares? But if you're a football player, you're making, I don't know, $260,000 or $300,000, you get fined $20,000.
I know you didn't want to get ejected, but
so
guys,
the only people who talked to refs in the NFL were quarterbacks.
Right.
Because they kind of had whatever, some relationship with them because they were always dealing with
them. They also knew they weren't getting thrown out of the game.
Of course, and they're always protected.
But I think guys do have reputations, and Aaron Boone has a reputation. That's number one. Number two, and this is the part Aaron didn't realize when he was ejected in the first inning, Aaron Boone, not to everybody, because I'm sure there are some Yankee fans who see through it, he has changed the conversation away from the fact that the Yankee bats have been limp. That the Yankee bats, even over the weekend against Tampa, and certainly on this Monday afternoon against the immortal J.P. Sears, the Yankee bats have done very little over the last couple of days.
Yep.
And I think what Aaron Boone's ejection and Aaron Boone's kind of situation from Monday and Blue Sweater Guy did is it took the attention away from the fact that as a whole, the offense is doing nothing. And number two, is probably number one, Aaron Judge is doing nothing. Mm. Now, I battle with this as a baseball fan. It is a long-ass season. I learned that, actually, from Aaron Boone. He said that once before, and it's a wise comment. It is a long-ass season. And guys are going to slump. Okay? We have seen this all throughout baseball with different players and different teams. So I'm going to tell you right now to all the Yankee fans out there, take a big, what is it, fresh breath there? Fresher breath air?
Just a
breath of fresh air.
No, a deep breath.
Deep breath.
Yes.
There you go. Let's all do it together. One, two, three.
I know we're discounting Aaron Boone getting ejected in the first inning because Brad Ausmus took over. He's got managerial experience.
Yeah, bad managerial experience.
I just wonder in the ninth inning if he would have put in Clay Holmes as opposed to Victor Gonzalez.
No, because
it was a non-save situation.
No, because after the game, Aaron Boone answered every question like he was still managing the team. Hey, Aaron, did you think of bunting with Jose Trevino? No. Hey, Aaron, why didn't you go to Clay Holmes? Like, Aaron Boone wasn't even pretending in his postgame press conference. He's like, yeah, so this is why I did this and that. But the offense sucks. That's why they lost.
Of course it is.
Aaron Judge, for now, because it is April 22nd, okay, and things can change. And the only thing you can bring up that would cause you to say maybe something's off is the idea of him being injured. But the fact that he's out there every day leads me to think he's not injured. Aaron Judge is not done. Aaron Judge is not guaranteed to have a bad.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Season, and this slump would not concern me quite yet. Now, I understand why Yankee fans on Saturday afternoon decided to boo his ass, because you're frustrated. You're a Yankee fan. You spend a lot of money to go to a baseball game. You don't boo because you hate. You don't boo because you take it personal. You boo because you're frustrated. And Aaron Judge right now is a mess.
Yeah, especially when you get handed a bobblehead as soon as you walk into the stadium, and then he goes 0 for 4.
You think that contributed to the booing?
Of course it did. 100%.
Wait a second. So if there was no Aaron Judge.
Let's celebrate Aaron Judge. It's going to – John Sterling's retiring. He's going to – have a ceremony on the field, and guess what? Aaron Judge, it's his bobblehead day. He's going to have a huge day today, and then he strikes out four times. What do you think? What else were they going to do?
So the Yankee fan booed because they were upset that they got this dopey bobblehead, and he was 0 for 4.
The question I'm curious about is whether or not people took him home.
Well, what would you think they did? Throw it on the field?
No, just left it. They're not going to throw it. Throw it on the field would be disrespectful. But just kind of left it.
No.
Just,
anyway. You know how much that costs on eBay right now?
What, a bobblehead?
Yes.
I don't know how many. How much?
I would guess if you looked right now, $30. Nobody's leaving the Aaron Judge bobblehead. That would be more disrespectful than booing him. I understand.
No, that's my point.
What?
That's my point.
Nobody left the bobblehead.
You're so upset with him, you just left it. As a sign of, get it right, Aaron Judge, otherwise.
No. First of all,
I'm half joking.
Yeah, no, you better be, because there is not one person that on purpose decided to protest Aaron Judge's 0 for 4 by saying, I'm going to leave this on the ground.
0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts.
By the way, most of them are going for north of $100 right now.
$100?
Yeah.
Wow.
How many?
Some north of
$150. They must not have made a ton of them, so that's probably why.
Well, look, it was for the first 18,000 people that showed up, right? So, I mean, I'm sure they made more than that, but the only way you could get it is by going to the game. Look, it's funny with fans. I personally am not a booer, but I'm also not a lecturer to those who spend their money and go to games. I understand why one may be frustrated. I understand if you spent Monday afternoon, an off day, your kids are in spring break, you take your kids to a Yankee game, and you spend a lot of money, and you sit there, and while it was a mildly entertaining game, you saw some really good pitching from Carlos Rodon. No shame in that. I think this was far and away his best performance as a Yankee. 7 dominant innings, and I do not shortchange it because of the opponent. I think that's ridiculous. No matter who you pitch well against, Teague, to me, it always counts.
Of course.
So you got to see a great performance by Carlos Rodon. You got to see the sideshow of Aaron Boone. But you are frustrated when you see an offense that does absolutely nothing. So I get why a fan boos. I was curious on Saturday because Aaron really heard it on Saturday. He didn't hear it as much yesterday and today. So maybe your point is right that the bobblehead had something to do with it. I was curious, like, would that trend continue from Yankee fans? And the truth is it really didn't yesterday and today.
No, it didn't.
Today you were just more frustrated with everybody.
Right, because it wasn't just Aaron Judge. It wasn't hitting. It was, I mean, Volpe gets a hit right at the beginning of the game. First pitch, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think it was.
First pitch of the game.
Yep. Stanton gets a hit, and eventually you're kind of like, all right, maybe they'll figure J.P. Sears out. They know this kid. He was in their system a while ago. They know this kid. Nope, they didn't.
No.
And so the frustration is just an extension of what we've seen for, a lot of this season. It hasn't been the whole season because there have been some games where they crush. They put up crooked numbers. But too many of these games, they're not scoring enough runs. And if they score three runs, all they need is three runs. Their pitching has been pretty good.
Pitching's been awesome.
Right? I was just reading the game notes from this weekend. When they score three runs, 15-2.
Yeah.
They just don't – the games that they don't score runs, you know that they're not going to score runs. It's odd.
And the offense is supposed to be their strength.
Right.
So when they don't score runs, it jumps out at you even more. Now, when Aaron Judge got booed on Saturday, I was curious. I was curious to see what the radio guys would say about it, what the TV guys would say about it. And so I went back, and I listened. And our radio guys, Justin Shackle, Susan Wallman, didn't say a word. I checked out the TV guys, Michael Kay, and I forget who was doing the game with him. I think it was Jeff Nelson. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was David Cohn. Maybe it was Paul. I forgot now. There was a lot of voices this weekend. They did not say a word. I checked the Tampa Bay Ray TV announcers to see what would they say about Aaron Judge being booed. They didn't say a word. But then I got to the Tampa Bay Rays radio announcers.
There it is.
And they had a lot to say about Aaron Judge being booed. Take a listen.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and Judge has struck out four times.
How do you boo your franchise player on his bobblehead day? I mean, really, I know they're passionate, but come on.
As I heard earlier someone say, it's like they eat their young, or they eat their own.
That was a former New York athlete. What do you think of that? Do we eat our own?
You don't eat them, but you do nibble on them. You definitely. You take some chunks out, for sure.
Were we nibbling on Aaron Judge on Saturday?
100%. I mean, I wonder how many... Okay, so people didn't leave the bobbleheads. I wonder how many of them got broken.
Oh, Tiki,
I'm just curious.
I love you. You're lost on this.
Why
do you know how valuable these bobbleheads are?
I mean, clearly it's $1.8 million of bobbleheads sitting out there right now. If you take the eBay value or whatever the heck Sean was looking at.
So on what planet would somebody who is at the game on Saturday, frustrated by the offense doing nothing, decide to protest by either breaking the bobblehead or leaving the bobblehead?
Are you telling me you haven't watched? And now maybe it's fake and just memeable. Content. You haven't seen these people get pissed off at the Dallas Cowboys and break their TV. Tell me you haven't seen that.
Completely different.
Right? It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
A piece of material. I don't know, possession that you're upset with, and you hit it, you break it, you smash it.
You know what the difference is, and I'm going to compliment the Yankee fans that booed him, because again, even though I'm not a booer, I understand it. I understand it. Like, the Yankee fan loves Aaron Judge. It's kind of similar to what the announcers said, the Ray announcers. Aaron Judge is your baby, okay? He's your beautiful, beautiful baby. And he's growing up, man, and this baby's awesome. He's becoming a man. He's becoming a superstar. But then, when your baby slumps, you're more disappointed in him than you are anybody else. For example, Anthony Rizzo can't get his head out of his ass. Gleyber Torres, same thing, has his head directly up his ass. You are less likely to boo Gleyber Torres and Anthony Rizzo because they're not your beautiful, handsome baby.
Good point.
The way Aaron Judge is.
Good point.
So sometimes when you boo a guy, there are different kinds of booing.
So it's a boo with love.
It's a boo with love. There's different kinds of booing. There's I hate you, go F yourself boo. We call that the Gallo, the Joey Gallo, right? And then you've got the, oh, man, I love you, bro. I don't want to do this. You know how I feel about you. But you suck right now, and I need to remind you. And that's the boo that Aaron got on Saturday. And if he doesn't pick it up soon, he's going to hear a lot more
like
of it.
This was like mamas back in the day when they would spank you and you were allowed to. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Yes.
No, it ain't, mama.
Wait, so are you, as an athlete who played in this town, are you bothered that Aaron Judge got booed, or are you okay with it? Do you understand? Did I explain it well to you?
I get it. I understand.
Okay.
You kind of when you're playing as poorly as he is, or as poorly as I was in moments of my career, the booing kind of makes you realize that I need to fix myself.
And Aaron said that.
Of course he did. And it's not, you don't look at it as they hate you. They just want you to be better.
Look, and he's going to be better. I know today, if you watch this game, I think what's frustrating about his 0-for-4 was the fact that he missed a lot of cookies. There were a lot of pitches that normally Aaron Judge crushes, and he didn't do that. And it's tough sometimes early in the season because you need to see those results. And so far, Aaron Judge is at 178. Well, and so you don't see those results. But I can tell you right now, I think Met fans are seeing this with Francisco Lindor. Take a deep breath and give it time. Great players will remind you that they're great.
Of course.
And Sean has a message for you. Just boo Aaron Judge. Make sure you don't boo Juan Soto.
Yeah, you're damn right. And by the way, I support all the Yankee fans. Get your frustrations out on Judge now. We
you
can't
like that.
Boo Soto all year.
That's right. Because Soto had a kind of an awful 0-for-4. Now, he's off to a great start. He's nowhere close to being booed. But if the Yankee offense doesn't pick it up and Juan Soto goes through an 0-for-20, what I'm saying right now about Judge being booed would be very different with Juan Soto. You better be careful with him because he's not your little baby. He's the girl that you're really trying to convince to stay in your bed.
Right. She's the one you want to marry. But Juan Soto's never going to go 0-for-20. Just never going to happen.
Never?
Never.
Well, those are the famous last words.
Never say never.
Never. Has he ever gone 0-for-20?
Yes. Of course, yeah. You want me to go through his career archives?
He's never been a high-priced Yankee before, so I assure you that's coming.
We'll get to your calls. A lot to get to. We'll get you set for tonight's Knicks-Sixers game, including the keys to the game. And if everybody's ripping Yankee fans for booing Aaron Judge because they're too negative, what about people ripping Knicks fans for celebrating too hard after winning game one? We'll try to juxtaposition that, but let's hear from you. Pat's calling from Middletown. What's up, Pat?
All right, so I want to call in for the bobbleheads. Tiki, I can assure you that nobody was breaking bobbleheads. People were guarding them with their lives.
I ended leaving them in the package.
Yes. People were buying bags to keep them in. They were guarding them with their life. I ended up selling one to a dad and his son for $70.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
Was there any part of you that felt bad as you took the money from them? Just be honest with me.
I had three. He only saw two. I brought my son to his first game ever, so he thought I only had two. And the father walks up, and he's like, hey, how much is that worth to you? And I was like, how much is it worth to you? So
it's a good question.
He ends up going,
answer 50, a question with a
he
question.
Goes, $50. Yeah, so he goes, $50. And I was like, people are asking to buy him for $50 everywhere. So then he goes, $70. And I see his son walk up, and I was like, all right.
Yeah. You know,
you could have got 100. You could have got 100.
Look, he did nothing wrong. I mean, honestly, this is a business transaction. Guy wanted it. But if I was at that game, this is where I'm a sucker. I will freely admit this. If I'm at that game and I have an extra bobblehead, like I've already pleased my kids, everybody's got their bobblehead, and a guy or gal comes up to me with their kid and says, how much? I would buckle under the pressure and literally hand the bobblehead over. And I feel bad saying that, but that's the dead honest truth.
Right. You would have been like, I'll give you this bobblehead, but you got to promise you're going to go to Barnes & Noble and buy my book, my Mets Bible.
I wouldn't even do that. But that's a pretty good idea. So it's 18,000 bobbleheads, correct, Sean? Like, that was the number?
First, and remember, this was rescheduled because of the rainout last year.
That's why they announced, like, 47,000 people on Saturday. And I'm sure a lot of people wanted to pay tribute to John Sterling as well. But that was a really, really hot ticket because of these bobbleheads. That's why the idea.
Dude, listen, you're telling me that 30,000 people went home disappointed?
Yes.
Because they didn't get a bobblehead?
That's correct, yes.
And so that now, the secondary market is worse than ticket prices to NBA Finals game?
Yes.
Because right now they're $100. By next week, they're going to be at $350?
I don't know if they're going to go up,
There's 18,000 of them. It's not like they're doing this every week.
No, you're right.
They're not going to. I mean, when's the next? Is there another? There's not going to be another Aaron Judge bobblehead.
No,
day,
but there's
there?
Garrett Cole's Star
okay,
Wars
forget
Day.
Forget Garrett Cole. He's
and
not
George
a home
Costanza.
Run baby. Yeah, forget all of that. When's the next Aaron Judge, our franchise player, the guy who's supposed to be the mighty Casey at the bat? When's the next bobblehead day? Is there another one? The
for answer, Aaron Judge like
yes,
this?
No. The answer is no.
No.
And so, this ticket, which is now, I mean, this guy had, Pat had three of them. Yeah. How did he get three of them?
Well, he's taking his family. Think about it. He's not going by himself. The toughest part about getting the bobblehead is that you got to get there early. Because if it's the first 18,000 people, you can't show up for a 1 o'clock game at 12:15.
Yeah,
you got to show up at like 10 a.m.
Where's my bobblehead? Y'all didn't save a bobblehead for me? Can I get a bobblehead?
Did John Sterling get a bobblehead at least? And let me just say this about John Sterling Day, because this is really pissing me off. This annoys me. So John Sterling was honored so beautifully by our radio station and certainly by the New York Yankees. I listened to the press conference, and let me just say to Emmanuel Barbari, Emmanuel, I feel you, bro, because you may have missed it. John very innocently was talking about the advice he would give to Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barbari,
and
he called him Emilio. I mean this from the heart, Emmanuel, and I hope you're listening. It was 2 years ago, Lugie will tell you, John Sterling came into the studio, pops his head in. I think it was during a break. It may have been on air. Looks dead into my eyes, and I've known John for a decade and a half now. and he says, "Eric, great to see you."
Wow.
So, wow. Emmanuel, it's a rite of passage. So don't feel bad. He called you Emilio. Anyhow, John does his speech. John does a press conference. It's all beautiful. The Yankees come out to give him a gift. Okay?
Okay.
I was actually getting emotional listening to this. I have to be honest with you. Not even as a Yankee fan, but just as a historian and respect for what John's accomplished. And they come out with an 85-inch television. Okay?
What?
Excuse me? What's your problem?
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
So they come out with an 85-inch television, and I turn to my wife because I'm in the car listening. And I say, "That is such a freaking perfect gift." And my wife's like, "Why is that? I mean, it's a nice gift, but why is it so perfect?" I said, "Because all John has said, he said it to us, and he has said it before, is all I want to do is sit on my couch and watch baseball all day and watch sports. John doesn't want to go to Paris. John doesn't want to go to Australia. John doesn't want to play golf. John doesn't want to make himself a meal. John wants to watch TV." And so the Yankees, listening to John, got him a TV. And yet all these rats on social media, even Boomer ripped it this morning. "How are you getting him just a TV?" Because that's what he wants. It's like someone buying me a scorebook and you saying, "All you got him was a scorebook." I love to score games. John loves to watch games. I thought the 85-inch TV, and by the way, that's a massive TV. 85 inches?
How is he? He lives in the city.
Yes.
How is he putting an 85-inch TV in the city?
I thought this. I did fear that. Because I said that to my wife. Does that
and
fit?
I'm sure he has wall space. But the question is, because I lived in the city for a long time.
He lives in Jersey, by the way.
Does he?
Yes. Oh, okay. He mentioned. Good. He said he has a beautiful apartment overlooking the water in Jersey.
Either way, it's an apartment. It's not a house. So you're in an apartment in Jersey City or Weehawken or somewhere around the water.
I don't know where it is.
My brother had an apartment over there when he used to come up and train. The rooms aren't big enough to sit far enough away from an 85-inch.
That's the only negative.
He had said in his pre-press conference before we knew the gift that he just had a guy hang multiple screens on the wall. He goes, "You'd be shocked at how many screens that fit in the wall." So he does have the wall space, clearly.
Okay. That's why I thought it was such a great gift.
It's actually the most perfect John Sterling gift of all
time.
Right,
but now he's got to take down all those other TVs and put up another one.
I would hope the Yankees send somebody there. The real problem is handing him a jersey with the last name Sterling on the back of it. Why did that not get any grief?
Because the Yankees don't have names on their backs.
Yes!
That's your issue?
That was the bigger gift problem. That was so un-Yankee-like.
Okay, so what would you do? How would you give him a jersey?
Because it had 5,000, however many games was the number.
Right.
Just give him that jersey with the number on it. It doesn't need Sterling on the back.
Well, I mean, doesn't it make it unique?
I mean,
this is really your issue?
I know. Come on.
You're telling me the issue people had with the TV is an... You gave him a Yankee jersey. Yankee jersey shouldn't have the name on the back.
I have a Yankee jersey with my name on the
back
of it.
I do too, but this is the voice of the Yankees. He would appreciate not having the name on the back.
You know what? No, he probably would appreciate it more with his name on the back because it's unique.
Yeah, and also, like, the Yankees don't differentiate, which is a good thing and a bad thing. So when you buy at 25, you're not locked into one player. It changes over the years. You're John Sterling. You almost have to have Sterling on the back. Here's the problem with people, and Sean's a great example of it, and all you rats on social media, you're another example of it. Why do we have to crap on something so beautiful? Like, John had this great day, okay? He gets this wonderful, thoughtful gift from the Yankees. That's the key. It was thoughtful, because all this guy wants to do is watch TV and watch sports. And he gets a beautiful jersey. I got some idiot saying, "How can you get him a TV? You're cheap." And then I got Sean complaining that there's a name on the back.
No.
How about it was just a beautiful Saturday outside of the fact that the Yankees decided not to show up and not hit?
I agree. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying if you were to pick a complaint, it'd be that. You really want to complain about the day? Bernie Williams kind of unaware of what his home run call was. It was a tough look, too, if you noticed that in the
video.
Well,
he said Bernie. He said Bernie.
Because I heard something about Burn Baby Burn and... You heard something.
Who, Bernie?
Yes. It was like somebody gave him a script to read. And he was totally unaware of what his home run call was.
All right. So why would he know it?
I mean, every Yankee kind of became.
Okay, every Yankee.
But he's the first, Tiki.
I know, but why would he know it? How would he?
He's never watched a highlight of himself and heard that.
I don't sit around watching highlights of myself. I'm being honest. I mean, seriously. Talking about the radio call. It's not the TV call that he might have seen on replay. I'm being honest here.
Unbelievably humble of you and the athletes. I caught one touchdown in flag football. I rewatched that thing on YouTube on loop.
Look, our play-by-play announcer on radio has been Bob Papa forever. Known Bob since I came into the league. Awesome dude. Until I started here and we decided to do an intro, I'd never heard Bob Papa call one of my 40-yard touchdowns or 50-yard touchdowns or the 95-yarder that I had against the Oakland Raiders. I never heard any of that until I came here. And it was only because that audio was it was here.
Right.
Right? We used that audio to intro Tiki and Tierney. And so why would Bernie have known the radio
I'm
call?
Just curious now, Sean.
I'm curious why you're so upset about
anything
this.
Else from John's ceremony that you want to bitch about?
I got
to look me straight.
I an hour ago. I didn't even think I was going to do any of this. I love the ceremony.
You can look me straight in the eye and tell me what are your issues from the ceremony on Saturday, because I know it bothers you, and that's fine. Just say it. You got a problem with something from Saturday? Got a problem with something from the video on Saturday? Anything bother you on Saturday with John Sterling?
I think you're alluding to something I don't know.
What, oh, you have no idea? You're not bothered at all?
That Evan was in it?
Oh, that's right. No, that was great. That was nice. Yeah, big Met fan gets on there.
I knew that was coming. By the way, I was stunned. I'm sitting there in the car, and I'm listening to the video, and all of a sudden they're playing clips of, like, Jack Curry and other broadcasters just saying, you know, John Sterling. Oh, they're the voice of the Yankees. And they played me saying it.
Nice.
Almost drove off the side of the road.
To be honest, and I love the guy, it was either play you or play Mike taking credit for playing all the Sterling highlights.
Let's go to Justin and Wayne. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo. What's up, dude? What's
up, man? Hey, I was at the game. After Judge's golden sombrero, I lifted the bobblehead up and said, I don't even want this thing anymore. And
someone
everyone around me goes, let me get it. Let me get it.
That's funny.
There was no way in the heck that they were getting the bobblehead from me.
Right.
So nobody's giving the bobblehead away.
No. Now, as you were doing this, were you booing Aaron Judge after his fourth strikeout? Or you?
Of course. Yeah. We were booing him after his second strikeout.
Do you think that the bobblehead kind of set up the booing? Like, if there
definitely
was no
did.
Bobblehead that day, Justin, are you less likely to boo?
No, I think after the second one, bobblehead or not, he's been struggling. So it is what it is. You're at Yankee Stadium, you're going to get booed.
Yeah, that's right, man. Look, I respect it. I respect it. Like, I don't want this to be a misnomer. I'm not a booer, but I understand it, man. I get it. Now, there are times in which it bothered me because I feel like they're undeserved, okay? Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge slumping, you could argue, is deserved. He's not playing well. He'll be the first one to tell you that. The booing that has bothered me in the past, Tiki, is when a guy is performing well and is still getting booed. And that happens. That does happen. Mm-hmm. Mike Piazza.
I'm trying to think of the most recent example of that.
Yeah, so...
Because it has to be somebody who was... You have an expectation for.
Right.
So, like... Booing, I don't know, Aaron Hicks is not the same because you didn't have an expectation for him. You just wanted him gone,
right?
Type of thing. So who had the expectation that they were booing because they were doing well but kind of not doing great?
Yeah, so the one that jumped out at me was Mike Piazza. Yeah. When Mike Piazza was being booed right after the trade, he was hitting 350, and he got booed after he struck out. And I actually got into it with a fellow fan and said, what are you doing? And he said, all of his hits are in clutch. The guy is in clutch. And we had like an argument about it. But I understand the frustration. Look, Judge isn't hitting. I mean, he's 3 for his last 28. So he had that one big hit in that one big moment, but it hasn't sparked him by any stretch. Anyhow, it's 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. We flip the switch to look ahead to a Game 2 at the Garden tonight with the Knicks and Sixers, but we can't do so without looking back. Knick fans took to the streets of 7th Avenue, chanting and partying. So I'm going to give you the 5 things Knick fans chanted loudly in the streets. But I'm not labeling it good or bad. You guys be the judge. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Go New York, go New York, go. As simple and classic as it can get.
As great as that song is, and I admit it's a very, very addictive song, I've never heard anybody chant that.
It got chanted Saturday night.
Go New York, go. Like in tune or out of tune?
Yeah, they were. It was a lot of singing, the Seven Nations Army and all that. And that was cool. That was fun.
I'm surprised that one's so low on your list.
Well, again, this is going to be the judge on whether this is clueless or whatever. Here we go.
Number 4.
F Embiid, bleep Embiid.
I got no issue with that. I mean, you're facing him.
Yeah.
So one thing about negative chance.
He did get hurt in the game.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to give him a back massage?
Feel better.
Shut up. Stop with
Hope
that.
You feel better.
Stop.
Knowing that he won't.
Yeah, you know. You want to beat the teams at their best. All right.
Number 3.
Way, no one feels that way.
Exactly.
Nobody feels I have to beat them at their best. Come on.
Number three is bleep Trae Young.
See, that one's dumb. That one's stupid. Trae Young is irrelevant to you right now.
Right. That was though, a different Knicks team.
Though I will tell you, in about 5 months, he may be very relevant when he's a member of the Brooklyn Nets.
I got to be honest. I kind of like
really
it.
Want him?
I didn't say I wanted him. I'm saying that that could happen.
Okay, so what happens when he is a member of
I'm not but right now, no opinions on the Nets. Let's just move on.
You're an IBO. You're supposed to give opinions on everything.
It's a complicated answer, but I don't want to waste anyone's time on it today.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Did we already do that?
Yes.
Here we go. So it's two?
Number two.
Yeah, this is number two.
All right, you're breaking up the flow in there.
All right. Knicks in four.
That was you.
No. But here's my issue with it.
Yeah.
How many of those listeners listened to the Fan on Friday and said, this mush with the Rangers? But you have no problem chanting Knicks in four if they're one?
Dude, as giddy.
Oh, you did say that about the Rangers. Mm-hmm. As you said
giddy
about the Knicks.
As I'd be after a win, I would not have the balls to chant my team in four. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have the balls to do it.
They did. Loudly. Uh-huh. Money.
You might be saying, never mind.
Here we go.
Number one.
And last but not least of the five things Knicks fans chanted outside Madison Square Garden, we want Boston.
Yeah. Well,
you still got two series to go.
Exactly.
I want to address.
That one's stupid.
I want to address Knicks fans doing this after game one. And they may do it tonight if they beat Philadelphia. Thank you very much for the Cinco de Five every day, 5 o'clock. I want to make it clear what my issue is. Okay? Because I support my fellow fan. Mm-hmm. I support Blue Sweater Guy for yelling today at Hunter Wendelstad and accidentally getting Aaron Boone ejected. I support Yankee fans being upset with Aaron Judge and booing him. I support that. And I want to make this very clear. I support Knicks fans after a postseason win celebrating. I am not anti that. I am not anti the Knicks fan.
You can't be anti Knicks fan right now.
Well, there are plenty of people that looked at that celebration on Saturday night.
The celebration. The celebration is what Knicks fans do.
Well, see, that's where we differ.
Right? The whole bing bong thing that came back to haunt them. Like, we know this. This is what Knicks fans do.
See, I disagree with you. Well, this is where we're going
to
veer off.
You want them to, like, learn class and camaraderie.
No. I'm going to tell
you
exactly.
Good game, 76ers. I feel better, Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey, don't puke your guts out too much tonight. Like, what do you want him to say?
I didn't say any of that. What I said is I support Knicks fans celebrating wildly and crazily after winning a playoff game. I do not believe that those people outside of Madison Square Garden after game one are real Knicks fans. I think they're a bunch of frauds. What? I think they're a bunch of 25-year-old college preppy kids who are saying to themselves, let me get my phone out and let me show you my enthusiasm. And here's my proof of that. When the Knicks fans first had a celebration, it was after they beat Atlanta, if memory serves correct, game two, okay, when they evened up that series at one. Those were real Knicks fans, and I'll tell you why that celebration occurred. Because these frauds Saturday night have no idea. Mm. That celebration occurred. I can feel this. This is going to get me emotional to even say. That celebration occurred because we couldn't believe we were out as humans. We couldn't believe we were partying. We couldn't believe we filled Madison Square Garden. We couldn't believe we were watching a basketball game with our fellow humans around us because we were just told to be inside because of a damn pandemic. Hmm. I was about to do the Adam Shine drop from the morning show because of a G-damn pandemic. And so that enthusiasm that night was real. It was real because, yes, you were giddy as a Knicks fan, no question about it, but you were giddy as humans.
Yeah.
The crap we've seen since then, opening night against Boston with Bing Bong, KD, don't you wish you were a Knick, all that, it's fraudulent. The real Knicks fan ain't doing that. The real Knicks fan is pumped up. They're Loogie. They're CP. Right. They're John Macri. They're Tommy D. They're all these guys I know. They're AJ. They're all like, yeah, we're pumped up. But those 22-year-old frauds, they ain't real.
But by the way.
And that would bother me if I'm a Knicks fan. These frauds are trying to say, I guarantee they didn't even watch any regular season games. They have no idea who Josh Hart was until the game occurred. A bunch of frauds.
The Knicks are saying all comers welcome.
Frauds.
And you sound like you're over-exaggerating the pandemic relief that people are coming out.
Oh, I am not.
They're coming out with.
I am not.
Hey, come on. They're more excited about the Knicks winning. Winning a postseason game. Think about how long it had been since the Knicks had won a postseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
It had been 8 years.
It'd been a long damn time.
I'm aware.
So, yeah, probably being out is great. But people were going out a long time before they were supposed to. people were congregating, maybe not in massive crowds of thousands, but they were congregating long before they were supposed to.
Why do you think Knick fans took to the streets after winning game one?
Because tonight?
Yeah, Saturday night. Why?
Because they feel like they can truly do something.
I'm going to prove to you that you're incorrect.
Jalen Brunson played terrible. What was he, 26? Even Josh Hart was like, damn. Right?
I told you Kelly Oubre is a tough defensive matchup. I warned you on Friday. Go ahead.
Of course he is, but they won without their best player being the best player
on
the court.
So that's why they celebrated?
No, but the fact that they won that game and the way that they won it with Jalen Brunson being bad tells them that they really have a shot.
It was a wonderful victory, and we'll preview game two in a little bit, but I want to get to the crux of this. Why did they celebrate like they won a championship on Saturday night?
Because Knicks fans are cocky as hell right now.
No.
Yes, they are.
Want me to give you proof? Well,
show me.
Yesterday afternoon, there was a game at Madison Square Garden as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but the New York Rangers,
so
the
Knick
team
fans
that won.
Or Ranger fans.
Well, hold on.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the New York Rangers are President's Trophy winners.
And the New York
they
Rangers,
beat the Capitals yesterday, and I didn't see them celebrating like that because those Knick fans who did that Saturday, they're not real. They're frauds. They're not real.
They're supposed to beat the Capitals. They're supposed to sweep the Capitals at this point. The Capitals are like the Islanders, unfortunately. They can't score a damn goal. You get lucky and tie it up 1-1, and like, all right, we got a chance here.
They had a lot of scoring opportunities
Dude,
on Saturday.
2.9 goals against our goal average for the season?
Yeah.
You're not beating the damn Hurricanes.
Why are you talking trash?
Because
this is awesome.
Rangers,
Tiki Pucks.
The Rangers are supposed to destroy the Capitals. I don't care what independent hockey advisor or whatever observer is talking about that series in particular. The Rangers should destroy them.
Okay.
Right? Especially with Rimpy scoring. He's not even beating people up.
I can't stand him.
Whatever. He's
made such an impact, but I can't stand him.
Right? I mean, this was the first, what was it that I heard? Ovechkin, this is his first
playoff game
without
a shot.
Yeah,
I guess.
Forget a goal.
Okay.
They are going to destroy the Capitals, and they know it. They're going to sweep them.
So it's expectations?
It's expectations. How many times did you tell us the Knicks are underdogs in this series? I don't know why. They're the 2 seed against the 7 seed 76ers who aren't really a 7 seed, but they're underdogs. How many times did you say that?
I have said that a lot.
Right?
Yes.
And then they go out and beat that ass, and the 76ers quit, didn't foul at the end of the game? With Jalen Brunson not even playing his best, and they beat him by 7? Right? I mean, come on now. The Knicks fans are really excited because
they are really excited, but those people weren't real Knicks fans. That's why I defend the Knicks fan, but not that on Saturday.
The Knicks have been disrespected at every turn this season.
Yes.
As soon as something went wrong, I was like, oh, that's it. It's over. Tom Thibodeau can't coach. He can't figure it out. Jalen Brunson's out. Oh, forget it. Oh, you got rid of IQ? What the hell are you doing? All right, RJ Barrett, he's supposed to be our future, our superstar. Oh, you have no chance. OG Anunoby, he's a free agent. What are you doing? Right? And here they did. They just climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed. And even when they got the 2 in the Eastern Conference, people are disrespecting them. Jalen Brunson's not even a finalist for the MVP. Right? And so people have disrespected the Knicks every single turn that they've taken this year. So when they go and beat the crap out of the 76ers.
They beat the crap out of the 76ers.
They beat them up, man. They beat them up.
They won a game.
The 76ers are good, by the way. Tyrese Maxey's a good player. Jalen Brunson had a terrible day, and they still won. They still won. Knicks fans are gassed because they see it. Right? They really believe it right now. That's why you saw those videos, because of the disrespect that's hovered around them all season
long. You saw the video because a bunch of 25-year-olds saw the video from 2 years ago that went viral and said, I want to be a star too. This is the TikTok age. That was a TikTok celebration the other night. If you're a real Knicks fan celebrating, God bless you. You should be pumped up. You said a lot of truthful things with what you just said. Mm-hmm. That was a great win in game one. Great win. Josh Hart, we talked about this going into game one. One of the keys was going to be the guts and the confidence from Josh Hart.
Right.
If he makes his outside shot, because you know Nick Nurse is going to dare him, the Knicks become even more tough to beat, even on an off night from Jalen Brunson.
Right.
So it was a great win. I'm not shortchanging that, but that's a TikTok generation fugazi celebration. And you know who agrees with me? Tommy Lugau agrees with me.
No, I don't. I absolutely do not agree with you at all, Evan, on this one, because I would say this. You never want to take playoff wins for granted. They don't grow off trees. We haven't seen a lot of them. If you want to wild out, it's New York City. Just walk around during 3 p.m. on a Monday.
Right.
It's crazy. It embodies the city. Knicks fans want to shout it from a mountaintop. Shout it from a mountaintop. The only thing I would say is, don't say we want Boston. Just don't say that. Number one, you're not
that's
playing
the only
them.
That's stupid.
You're still playing Philly.
you got
another round. Exactly. I don't like stuff like that. We saw it with the Yankees. We want Houston. I don't like stuff like that, but if you want to do damage, property damage, do whatever the hell you want to do, if you want to, you know, spend a night in jail, that's your prerogative. Scream to the mountaintops. I love it.
By the way, I'm with you that I love it if it was real.
But it is real.
Oh, stop
don't
it.
They're not fraudulent fans.
Those are frauds.
They're not TikTok fans. I mean,
those are TikTok, I mean, Bing Bong, and Nick fans, and you know it.
But it happen. People know that, I mean, if you still believe that that's going to make you famous, come on. It's not going to make you famous.
Don't tell the KD he still regrets he didn't pick the Knicks guy. He's
don't
famous.
You
all.
Wish you picked the Knicks.
We'll get to your calls next, 877-337-6666. And we're going to find out real soon, does Tyrese Maxey actually have balls? We'll try to get that answer coming up live. Evan is Tiki on the Fan. Will Tyrese Maxey play tonight? Can the Knicks go up 2-0? More on the game coming up. But in this Yankee game earlier today, as you may be aware, Hunter Wendelstadt had a very quick fuse, threw Aaron Boone out of the game, even though Aaron Boone had said nothing about a check swing call. It was a fan sitting in the first row with a blue sweater on. And there is audio, as we played earlier, of Hunter Wendelstadt saying, "I don't care," when Aaron said, "I didn't say anything." Now, you knew that Hunter Wendelstadt would say something. Umpires don't have to meet the media after games, but usually they provide quotes when there's controversy with a pool reporter. I have no idea what approach Hunter Wendelstadt is going to take, but Hunter Wendelstadt did speak to the pool reporter. And ladies and gentlemen, to play the role of Hunter Wendelstadt, Sean Morash.
All right, Cinco de Trio is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I'm going to give you the three quotes from Hunter Wendelstadt here.
All right, let's hear it. I can't wait.
Here we go. "I know what Aaron was saying, that it was a fan above the dugout. That's fine and dandy. There were plenty of fans that were yelling at me before I called a pitch till the end of the game. What happened was, it wasn't him. It wasn't over where it was, bench coach Brad Ausmus was. It wasn't where the coaching staff and Aaron were, but Aaron is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in that dugout."
So he's saying, "I didn't eject Aaron because of the fan. I heard it from someone in the dugout."
Someone else. So here we go. The next quote.
Huh.
"In my opinion..."
Is that true?
Well, we're going to let you be the judge after these last two quotes. "In my opinion, the cheap shot came towards the far end. So instead of me being aggressive and walking down to the far end and trying to figure out who might have said it, I don't want to eject a ball player. We need to keep them in the game.
Oh, God.
That's what the fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees, so he got ejected." That's quote number two. "And last but not least, this quote. "Apparently, what he said was there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I have never ejected a player or a manager for something a fan has said. I understand it's going to be part of a story or something like that because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout. It has nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one who had to go."
All right. A couple of things. To Blue Sweater Guy, you're off the hook. Hunter Wendelstadt is telling you, whether we want to believe it or not,
I don't.
You are not the reason Aaron Boone was ejected. You do not believe him.
Mm-mm.
So what do you think happened? He's just trying to cover his own ass?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, it's the first batter, right? So what player is saying something? I just don't understand.
Yeah, Brett Gardner's not in that dugout anymore.
But
it can't be him.
What player has built up enough frustration with Hunter at this point to scream at him? I mean, serious.
I think that there's probably a past that players have where maybe they don't like. I'll give you a good guy right now. I'm going to accuse somebody. I got the guy right now.
Who?
And Hunter could have ejected him because it wouldn't have mattered. Gerrit Cole. That Gerrit Cole, he could be a hothead.
Stop.
And he's like a coach back there, and he takes pitching very seriously. So he's upset because he's sitting there, first base dugout, sees it was clearly a swing, and is like, "This is some BS, man. I'm pissed off.
You know
I bet you it was Kermit, Gerrit Cole."
You know
Cole.
Why I'm not buying that?
Why?
Because I didn't hear that. Now,
we have
audio of everything that happened from the umpire to Aaron Boone.
Right.
And so if someone is farther than Aaron Boone, how in the hell are we hearing that? Because we couldn't even hear the guy who was right behind the umpire, right behind Aaron Boone.
Right.
Right, the blue shirt guy. He's directly behind. Almost, I mean, if he laid out, he could touch him, right? And we didn't hear that guy. So how in the world is Hunter,
Wendelstedt hearing a guy at the end of the dugout.
No, but that's more evidence that it was someone at the end of the dugout because the fan is right behind Aaron Boone, and we didn't hear him, but we heard Aaron Boone. I think Hunter's right, and I think Hunter's also right about this. I agree. I'd rather you eject the manager than a player who may be playing in the game.
So now it sounds like you're standing up for the ump.
I kind of see where he's coming from.
I mean, the problem is we know it was what the fan said. We know it was.
How do we know? Because the video tells us that?
No, because the immediate reaction. You see the fan open his mouth, and as soon as his mouth closes, Wendelstedt turns around and throws out Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidence. And there's no way that the fan coincidentally just yelled and blah, 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 and then right at the same time that some other guy at the end of the dugout said the same thing or something similar.
And Hunter Wendelstedt would have to somehow know and memorize every single player and coach on the Yankees bench's voice to know distinguishly that it wasn't a loud fan 2 inches from any of those players. I mean, let's get real here.
So he's lying.
He's lying on his teeth. And you know he's lying?
He's covering his ass.
When he knows the fans are ticked off today, when he pulls the line, that's who fans, you know, pay to see. He's trying to turn and look, I'm giving you what you want. I couldn't eject the player. It's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this has been escalated. Boo. It's been escalated because Hunter Wendelstedt could have taken the approach of, hey, listen, man, I screwed up.
Yeah.
I was quick on the trigger. I'm going to call Aaron. So I apologize. And instead, he ain't going that way.
So the problem with, like, making up a story is it eventually it gets exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to figure out, okay, well, that wasn't actually true. Let me lie. Let me find something else to say. And, like, you end up changing your story over and over again. Just say you screwed up.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You know what the key to all this is? We got to find out what Blue Sweater Guy said.
Uh-huh.
That's going to tell us the story. If Blue Sweater Guy said something deeply offensive, then I will buy, okay, it was the fan. Mm. Hunter heard it. It got to his last nerve. He throws him out of the game. If Blue Sweater Guy just says, come on, Blue, get your head in the game, then you know it wasn't him.
It's more like, get your head out of your ass.
That's not enough to be ejected.
If he's wired to be, I don't know, he's got a trigger, a hair trigger, definitely.
Mm.
Without a doubt.
I don't know. Kind of up in the air about this whole thing.
It was a quick toss, though.
It was the most entertaining part of the game.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe the fan just chanted Nixon 4.
Let's go to Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. You have a great show.
Thank you.
And I want to bring up a Yankees question.
Yeah.
I'm in the ideology, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And DJ LeMahieu is coming back. I know he's making a lot of money, but I don't think you should just play him. Especially, you should not replace Cabrera. Cabrera's playing great.
Yeah, but when you say, Phillip, but when you say, and I've heard this phrase a lot, if it ain't broke, don't break it, or if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it, or something like that.
Yes.
The Yankees are off to, record-wise, a really good start. They're 15-8. No one should sneeze at that. But their offense right now is sort of broken.
Mm-hmm.
Gleyber Torres is a mess. DJ can play that position. Anthony Rizzo is a mess. Gleyber can play that position. Oswaldo Cabrera is not a mess, but DJ can play that position. DJ LeMahieu is a welcome addition back to the New York Yankees.
Right. I think what he's trying to say is he doesn't want Oswaldo Cabrera out of the lineup.
No, I think Oswaldo should still be in the mix. He's actually one of the few Yankees that's still producing.
Agreed.
But having a guy like DJ who could play all over the diamond only helps a Yankee lineup that right now has not been their strength. I mean, the Yankees are 15-8, and you ask yourself, why? They've pitched a lot better than people thought. Their offense has been mediocre. Let's go to Adam in Staten Island. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up? Listen, I know the Knicks didn't beat up on the 76ers when you look at the score, but they did beat up on them on the offensive rebound.
Yes,
they
no doubt about it. They physically pushed them around, and that was the biggest difference in this game, was what they did to them on the glass, no doubt.
But I do want to say, like, the greatest Knicks chant I ever heard, even though Trae Young had our number in that series, when he was at the foul line and they started chanting, Trae is balding, is one of my favorite. So
that's awesome.
So I guess the question then is tonight,
security.
Yeah, tonight at Madison Square Garden, what's the play? You know, instead of your traditional MVP chant when Jalen Brunson's at the line, is there a chant at someone prominent on Philadelphia? That I got it.
Mm.
I go after a guy that killed you in Game 1. Think back to what happened in Game 1 and how easily Philadelphia could have stolen that game. And if you ask yourself, well, how did they almost steal it, especially considering when Embiid went down, we all thought he was done. He comes back for the second half and was not very productive. He was 2-for-11 from the field in the second half, did nothing in the fourth quarter.
He's very ginger. You could tell.
Yo, no doubt about it. And wasn't playing in that same aggressiveness. So how did Philly come back from 13 down? How did they do it? Kyle Lowry and Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. I go after Kyle Lowry. And here's what I do. Kyle Lowry has always been, and I say this respectfully, he's been a little big boned. You know what I mean? He's kind of chunky. I think you go after Kyle's fat. Kyle, is that fat shaming though?
Yeah, it's very hurtful.
Yeah, hurtful.
You got to go chunky, chubby, tubby.
Chunky, no, that doesn't sound as
chunky
good.
Lowry is funny.
Chunky Lowry is funny. Is that better, Teak?
Kyle's tubby.
There you go. But you like that? Do you like going after Kyle's belly?
Yes.
Is that too much to you?
But the word fat is just very, very offensive.
You can't say fat.
Fat's wrong. My apologies.
Chubby sounds good. Kyle's chubby.
Kyle's chubby.
You could just bad boy him.
What do you mean?
Because he's... this is something BD and I used to always do with his name. Because it's Kyle Lowry.
Right.
Which is from Bad Boys.
Right.
You know that movie? His name is Mike Lowry.
Okay.
You know... You've never seen the movie.
I've seen it, but years ago.
Where he walks up to the door, he's like, what's your name? He's like, Mike Lowry.
Right.
Right? So just do the Bad Boys thing.
Well, what does that do? That's not going to taunt him.
No.
Couldn't win without Kawhi.
It doesn't work as well. Do you agree that Lowry's the guy to go after, or do you want to go after Joel? Because Joel's, how's your knee?
You got to be Maxey, I think. Maxey's who you got to disrupt.
Are you sick? Mm-hmm. As a professional athlete, by the way, T, because you still are. I know you haven't played
Never
in a long
it.
Time.
Never heard
Never
it.
Never heard what?
Chance. That's what you're going
to
ask?
No, has nothing to do with that.
Never heard it in football.
Has nothing to do with chance. It was actually completely different because my brain works that way, especially when we're only on the air for 2 hours. Does it piss you off, almost offend you, that Tyrese Maxey may not play tonight because
he
isn't feeling well?
He's going to play.
He isn't feeling well.
But it's a mind, you know what, to the Knicks.
You think that's what it is?
Of course it is.
You don't think it's possible Tyrese has a stomach bug?
There's no way you're going into a playoff game two against first round series. You're down 0-1 against a rival, and you're not going to play because you're a little sick.
What would you say about Tyrese Maxey?
My daughter cheers when she could have COVID and she would go cheer. I'm not even joking.
Don't tell the other parents.
Wear a mask. No, the parents know.
No, they don't care.
They don't care. CJ is no joke, man. Right?
If Tyrese Maxey doesn't play,
I'll be disappointed.
What would
him.
You say about him?
I'd say he's soft.
Yeah, keep going.
He's very soft.
Yeah, keep going. What else would you say about him,
suck
Bad Tiki?
Throw it up and then suck it up.
When I saw that Tyrese Maxey was questionable or downgraded to questionable, my thought was, oh, no, I wonder what the injury is. When I heard he wasn't feeling well, I'm thinking to myself, are you freaking kidding me?
I mean, unless he does have COVID or something, that's different.
Yeah, but they're not banning you from playing anymore with COVID. That's out. That's out. You can play.
Can you?
If he had COVID, they would have already ruled him out. They would have said he's out with COVID.
Yeah, but they're probably trying to figure out how to mitigate it. I'm just saying. I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, he better play tonight.
Why?
Because that's soft.
Oh, I
hate to say that, and I wanted you to say it, because I'm not a professional athlete.
Oh, I agree.
But I do radio shows sick, all right?
Dude, I've played sick.
Yeah.
I've done radio shows sick.
Damn right you have.
You just do it. You show up and do it.
What would it take for you not to play a football game because you weren't feeling well? Like, seriously, what would it take?
If you had a bug where you just were, you know, the outside both ends?
Oh, yeah.
Coming out both ends? You're so dehydrated, you can't.
No.
That would be the only
thing. That's
only
the only thing Tyrese could have for you to understand this tonight.
It's the only thing.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll let you know. Game tips at 7:30. He was not at shoot around earlier today. I hope he'll go through warm-ups, and we'll see what.
And if Maxey doesn't play tonight, you could chant the female paraphernalia at him.
Well, can you be more specific?
Sure. Maxey pad.
Maxey what?
Pad.
Oh.
That one would sting. That's better than a chubby Lowry chant.
Interesting. All right.
But that's only if he doesn't play.
If he doesn't play.
No, yeah. I think even if he does and he's not playing, I think it still works.
You can't do that either way? Why not?
Yeah, you can do it either way. You know what? It's good enough to use no matter what.
I also think the chant at the player only works when the guy plays. Like, if he's not playing, it's almost.
It doesn't make sense.
I wouldn't bring it up.
Yeah, unless he comes back in game, what would that be, 5? So, that'd be the only
one. Why are you picking game 5? Why not game 3? Oh, at Madison Square Garden. Game 5. I got you. Can I ask you a serious question, Lugie?
Yeah.
And I don't want to judge anybody, but there may be somebody in my household who did this, and I love him dearly, so I'm not calling him out.
Yeah.
When Joel Embiid when Joel Embiid did the self-dunk, right?
Yeah.
And then fell on the ground, and it looked like he was shot. Like, we all thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Where you were watching the game, did you celebrate it, or were you like, oh, man, you know, not this way. I hope he's okay. Like, what was your reaction? Be brutally honest.
No, my reaction was, dude, you have a bad, like, knee, and you're pulling off a move like that? F you. Yeah. You're a goon for trying that.
It was
sorry.
Actually, that sucks for him. That's okay.
You did it, that sucks for him?
I said, that sucks for
him. There was somebody in my house.
By the way, it was the only way he could have scored from where he was.
Right.
He was compromised.
That was a great move.
It was a smart move.
Yeah.
But you land on that knee and it just opens that in that cap. What is it, MCL?
I think I know.
Whatever it is. But yeah. I've had that kind of pain happen to me.
Yeah.
Where it just weakens everything. Everything stops firing.
Yeah, I got you.
And it's less the pain, it's more your muscle stops.
So you felt bad for him?
I felt bad for him.
Loogie went more analytical. Right. Hey, that's a stupid basketball decision. I had someone in my household celebrating.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't want to say anything. Mm. It wasn't my place. And I love my father-in-law. You know, so I didn't want to. Oh, oops. Did I say that? Let's go to Eric and Beth Page. What's up, Eric?
Hey, boys. Listen, maxi pad, that's great. However, the Hunter Wendell stat thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awful ejection. I was listening on the radio, and those mics were so hot.
Yeah.
And blue sweater guy was literally 6 inches behind Aaron Boone. Something would have picked up what he would have said. And until I heard his explanation of it afterwards, I kind of got to think it came from the end of the dugout, because somebody's got to be held accountable, and that's the manager. And we would have seen that. I went and looked at it on TV. Blue sweater guy doesn't move. You would have heard something coming out.
And you know what else? You know what else, Eric? I kind of agree, whether we think Hunter's lying or not. I agree with his thought, which is I don't want to eject a player.
Yeah.
Like, the people came here to see players, right. And I have no idea when I turn around who I'm ejecting,
but he's
so I'd rather it be the manager, where at the end of the day, what does it really mean if the manager is ejected?
Well, so here's the thing. They're telling you it's a player. Like,
right.
Hunter just told us it was a player. So now we got to find out what player it was.
Well, keep this in mind.
What he said.
Keep this in mind. The Yankees are in the field. So we already know it's not any of the position players,
yes,
because he's looking towards the dugout. So
yeah,
now
it's not Rizzo.
No. So the only guys on the bench you're talking about is Trammell, Jahmy Jones, Austin Wells, or Trent Grisham.
Right.
Who cares? If we're being fair.
Right.
Or the designated hitter, Giancarlo Stanton.
Could be him. Nah, he's not that guy.
You don't think Stanton cares enough? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I think he cares.
Oh.
I just don't think he's got that kind of personality.
Wouldn't be him.
When was the last time you've seen Giancarlo Stanton combative?
No, you're right. He doesn't yell.
It's not
much.
Him. So it could be one of the pitchers.
It could be one of the starters. A lot of the back-end bullpen guys don't go to the bullpen till later in the game, so it could have been Clay Holmes, who they didn't use anyway. But I'm telling you, if Hunter's story's true, it is a lock that the guy who did it was Gerrit Cole. He's a hothead.
That's the only alternative.
Yeah, but now that we talked it out, if it was in the dugout and not the blue sweater guy, It's probably Gerrit Cole.
So you agree with me?
I agree with you.
No, but let's stop normalizing that Hunter Wendell stat is telling the truth here.
Normalizing.
He's lying out his teeth.
Right.
Enough. Screw this guy.
I think the story kind of checks out, man.
It just kind of sounded like he was talking. I mean, again, Sean read the quotes. We didn't hear him say these things.
Yeah.
So it just sounds like he was weaving a yarn.
Hunter had 4 hours to prepare for what he was going to say.
He was weaving a yarn.
He thought about it. Jay is calling from Smithtown. Good afternoon, Jay.
Yo, first of all, Tiki, you're the man.
Appreciate you.
Brad, let's go. I mean, I'm sorry, Evan.
Yeah.
I don't know why I called you Brad.
Brad.
Let's go, Nick.
Yeah.
And I was thinking,
Why
doesn't the Garden go? You guys still stand by me, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Garden chant, Lord S. Lowry?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that was solid.
And then when he dribbles the ball up the court, boom, ba, ba, boom, ba.
It's funny that the guy we're going to pick on is Kyle Lowry. But to me, Kyle Lowry's a pick-onable kind of guy because, A, I think we all respect him. I mean, Kyle Lowry's put together a hell of a career.
Unbelievable.
And the other thing about Kyle Lowry, and I want to say this as delicately as I can, because I understand I'm not an Adonis, okay? I fully acknowledge that. Kyle Lowry feels like he's been out of shape his entire NBA career.
But he's actually not.
I know he's not, but he feels that way. And he also, and I'm so glad Jay said it.
He's 38.
He also has a rather large ass. Like, have you noticed that? That it's kind of a squarish, kind of a rotund the posterior that he possesses, which is kind of big for a point guard.
Yeah.
We call that a dumper, Evan.
Got dumps like a truck.
Kyle's dumper.
His listed weight is under 200 pounds.
I mean, that's a lie.
Yeah, 175 of it are in his cheeks.
But you guys have seen this about him.
Of course.
And look, he made a huge impact in game one. Like, Philadelphia came very close to stealing game one. Mm-hmm. All right, they did a great job defensively on Jalen Brunson. I mean, he was not the Jalen superstar Brunson we had seen. And the Knicks won because, A, they beat the crap out of the Sixers on the glass all night, but really because Deuce hit those big shots early and Josh finished the job late. I mean, that's how they were able to escape from this. And a part of how Philly erased that 13-point deficit was lard-ass Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, he's a gamer. He's a winner. He's got tons of experience. When he was available, I actually wanted the Knicks to get him because I'm like, this guy has a ton of experience. We'll play big in the big spots, and you saw it already in game one.
Now that I look at him, I don't even think he's that big.
Oh, no, come on. He's got a lard-ass team.
Do you think the dumper will guard Deuce tonight?
I see what you did there. Let's go to... Let's go to Matt and Howard Beach. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up, dude?
So I think Hunter Wendell's stat, you know, having like, I don't know, the whole afternoon to prepare what he was going to say is like getting that text from your wife or your girlfriend that just says, call me. And like every scenario that you've possibly done like the last, you know, week or two is running through
week
your head.
Two, less
and
like
you're like,
2 years.
You have to cover all your bases.
Right. Right.
Well, one
kick it down the road, kick it down the dugout.
Think
well, that wasn't
this.
Me. That was Bob.
But don't you think he came up with the best excuse possible? Like, other than dying on the sword and saying, "Hey, I screwed up. I ejected Boone because Blue Sweater Guy said something, and I misheard who said it." Other than dying on the sword, which he could have done, he could have just taken the L. Don't you think this is the best story he could come up with?
It is, but because it sounds implausible, and we saw visual, even though not audio, evidence that there was someone right behind the dugout screaming, and the timing is just, if it's not, it's immaculate timing, right? If it wasn't Blue Sweater Guy that Hunter Wendelstadt heard, it's immaculate timing.
Right.
Because the minute he starts speaking, Wendelstadt turns and ejects Aaron Boone. The millisecond he stops speaking, it happens. So... that's a coincidence, and I've told you a million times, I don't believe in them, right? So things happen for reasons.
You're starting to make me question coincidences, too.
Right? So
you say it so often, I'm starting to realize maybe there aren't coincidences.
There aren't.
Maybe Tiki's right.
And so if he heard someone at the end of the dugout, it just makes us, it continues the story.
Right.
Because the obvious answer is the Blue Sweater Guy.
Hmm.
But if he's going to kick it down the dugout, then... now we got to figure out who was down the dugout.
Right.
So it just keeps the story alive.
Imagine if this
was... it would have been easier just to say, my bad.
Yeah. No, he chose not
honestly.
To.
Honestly. Just like the call, whoever just called, I forget his name. The last caller. Hey, your wife writes you, text, call me. As soon as you pick up the phone, be like, all right, I'm sorry for whatever I did.
I don't know what
my
it is,
bad.
But you got me.
My bad. Yes, my bad.
Cops
to it. Don't make an excuse.
I wish this was Angel Hernandez. Because Angel Hernandez umpired the Mets over the weekend. And the entire weekend, I was waiting for Angel Hernandez to do something crazy. And besides, you know, missing a couple of calls, I guess, here and there, he never did anything as embarrassing as this. So if this was Angel Hernandez, the world would be coming down. Let's go to Johnny in Howard Beach. Hey, Johnny, what's up?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Good.
All right. Evan, I wanted to give you credit for this weekend. You were right 100% about Joel Embiid. He was a dirty player. And his nickname should be Mr. Softy.
Yes, he is. He's very dirty. You see when he tried to go down low? He's done that before.
Yes.
So that's what he does. Yep. Trust me.
He's a dirty player.
All right. Oh,
and then I wanted to bash you a little bit.
Go
you
ahead.
You got to stop bashing my man Matt Rempe. Guy played a great game.
Yeah, he did.
Well, watch this, Johnny. I am a man of honor, okay? I am a man of, if I'm wrong, I hold myself accountable. If I'm right, I won't tell you. I'll wait for someone else to tell me, like Johnny just did. Matt Rempe made an impact on game one of this series against the Washington Capitals. And I have mocked Sean for Matt Rempe being just a no-talent, tall guy who wants to start fights. But I can't deny what my eyes saw yesterday at Madison Square Garden. A lifeless game turned into something different because of Matt Rempe. And I give him a golf clap. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I can't fight you. It was a nice victory, and he played a big role in that. Congratulations.
And showed actual talent, Evan. Beautiful shot there.
It was great.
Star of the game. What a day.
Dude, I got nothing bad to say about him. Now go beat them again tomorrow and go up 2-0.
Not a problem. Back to Washington up 2-0.
All right. Go ahead. Did you guys celebrate after the game? Were you guys partying after you beat the Capitals?
Yeah. I wasn't aware my neighbors all had off today. They couldn't get them out of my house. But, yeah, we celebrated hard yesterday.
I saw a video of Sean. I got to tell you, your setup is badass. Sean's got a backyard with a bar.
I saw it too.
And, like, a TV. And everybody was wearing Ranger jerseys. There were kids in the background jumping on one of those trampoline things.
Bounce house, yeah.
A bounce house. I mean, that looked like a freaking party.
Did you bring in the bounce house? Or do you have one?
No, I own a bounce house.
Yes.
We blow it up for the kids.
Smart.
They go nuts. They're all in the Ranger jerseys. The goal song blares on every goal. We do shots for every goal. We had a great time.
I only had one critique.
What's that?
It's a tiny, itsy, bitsy critique.
If you're going to criticize the size of my second TV that you can only see in there, then.
No, it has nothing to do with your TV.
Okay.
It's kind of hurt. Where was our invite? Like, Tiki would have considered coming. I would have considered coming. Lugie would not have. He doesn't like you.
Well, first
but we would have considered coming.
First of all.
I would have had a good ass time. Put the Met game on one of those TVs. Right. Let's go.
We did have the Met game on that went off real quick. Ranger fans only was the.
Oh, is that the rules?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So you won't have visiting fans kind of just hang out?
Let's
have
go
a
Devils.
Beer?
No, can't have it. Now, my one Islander
can I get
neighbor
an exemption?
Came down. Yeah, you might. But here's the problem, Tiki. You wouldn't even come to Long Island to sit in the owner's box. You're going to come sit in my backyard?
I don't know. I think Tiki would consider it, especially with the kids and the bounce house.
I went to Staten Island.
All right, listen.
I went to Queens.
Next,
to celebrate
you, my Mets Bible. Thank you.
My Mets Bible. Sat there for a collective 4 hours.
Now you're making
me
feel
bad. Had a conversation with Evan about my Mets Bible.
That's right.
Next weekend day NHL playoff game. The Rangers playing. You guys are invited.
NFL
you don't.
Draft.
Well, they played 8 o'clock Sunday night, Friday night.
Oh.
If you don't show, you never get invited again. So that's it.
We get one opportunity to come.
On a Sunday night?
We're not talking about tickets to a game. We're talking about through my house. Okay?
On one Sunday night?
No. Well, if you want to come through Sunday night, you can. I just assume you guys wouldn't want to do a night game. Day game's more appealing.
So when's the day game?
We don't have one yet.
Well,
till
the
round
Knicks
two.
Play Sunday at 1 o'clock. So you can do Knicks at 1 o'clock. The Mets also play at 1 o'clock. They're playing the Cardinals that day, 1:40. The Yankees are playing at 2 o'clock. That's a great sports Sunday.
And you're going to stay through the end of the Ranger game at night?
Well, I don't know if I can. I got to talk to my family. But you're telling me we only get one invite, and if we say no, we're dead to you?
On a Sunday night?
I'm not. I told you the next day might play a day game in round two.
If you heard it was Sunday night on Long Island.
If you want to come Sunday night, Long Island, Tiki, you can even sleep over.
All Tiki heard was Sunday night. All I heard was you threatening us. Like,
well,
if you don't say yes, you're dead to us.
Because it's a very serious thing.
No one's saying it's not serious. But I can't go or Tiki can't go, that's enough for us to be banned for life like what Pete Rose betting on baseball.
I just look. Right. There might be some amendability. I'm just trying to show the seriousness of a party at my house. And it's not really a party, but no idle chit-chat either. If the kids are going to chit-chat, they go to the bounce house.
I understand. I was going to break down Mike Rempe's performance with you.
Okay. Matt Rempe. Already 0-1 on a strike there.
Would that piss people off?
Very much so. Very much so. That's how you end up in the pool.
We'll come back and get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. And I am curious, for anyone who's driving home from the Yankee game, are you going to the Garden to complete the doubleheader? Because this would be a very expensive doubleheader, but a damn impressive doubleheader. Yankees during the day on a Monday afternoon, Knicks game 2 at night. I'd be more impressed, though, if you went to the Yankee game and then jumped on a flight to Raleigh and saw Islanders Hurricanes game 2. That impressed me more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.